can always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Scheman and Schepp on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Scheman and Shepherd. Yeah. 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Yes, that's right. Rick Church on the other side of the glass with the Van Halen. Big hour awesome. Here on a Friday. Jenna Lane will be joining us at the bottom of the hour, the Bucks reporter for ESPN. And we'll also have Craig's Friday Sports Test brought to you by the Boathouse on Naples Bay.
Oh.
Remember, three questions for each that you get right, $25 there at the Boathouse at Naples Bay. You can win up to $75 worth, and you get a Pete Shepherd lifeline on one of your three questions.
Yes.
It's almost impossible not to come away with something. I think we've only had one contestant, been doing this for several months, who whiffed on all three. So we got all that coming up here on the program. On a strange day, 8,900 more cases in one day, biggest one day jump ever in the state of Florida with COVID-19. We are suspending on premises consumption of alcohol at bars. State of Texas doing some similar things as well. So a step backward, as they say.
And Governor DeSantis speaking in Fort Myers today. I'm just looking at headlines. He says it's come a long way since testing in March, and I can't. We'll get more quotes afterwards. But again, you still most of the. If you're going to a place, you think you can't get cocktail. As long as you're serving food, you can go out and have a drink
at the table or wherever you are, right?
Yeah,
carry out.
You won't be able to sit at the bar anymore. And unfortunately, for the bars who don't serve food in the microbreweries, that kind of sucks.
Yeah,
big time.
All right, so that's the latest there. The NBA, 16 out of the 302 players tested positive. They're now in quarantine. That's only a 5% rate as they get ready to try and start the season in July. So we have all that. I saw Pete Shepherd. I don't know if this would interest you for a Boston Red Sox game. But I see the Giants are offering fans chances to have cutouts of themselves put in the stands. And if you're a season ticket holder, they'll just do it. If you're not a season ticket holder, they'll do it for $99. You can have a big cardboard cutout of Pete Shepherd sitting there in the stands. You could do that maybe in Boston. Put him right there in those third base seats that your dad saw you on TV at 1 o'clock when you were playing Ferris Bueller that one day. When he caught you on TV. Now people could see your picture.
Great. It's being a bit real quick, and John Heyman, who covers baseball for the MLB Network, is real good. And he's talking about the Miami Marlins strongly considering and even likely to include number 3 overall pick, Max Meyer. He's a big, flame-throwing kid, right-handed pitcher out of the University of Minnesota. He's going to be part of their 60-player pool at camp. Assuming he signs, he's close to a deal, and they believe he could be quick to the majors. So that could be, that a guy like that could be your next Dwight Gooden.
If I have a team that doesn't have a chance, and we're doing this 60-game sprint, boy, I'd be tempted to put my young guys up there and just let them get some experience.
Yep.
I know there are others that you don't want to rock the confidence of a pitcher and have them get rocked out there, but man, I'd be tempted to do it. I sure would. I had one more sidebar to my story about the cutout fans.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, English soccer has been doing this. Leeds United has posted pictures of fans in the stands with cardboard cutouts, except somebody mailed in an Osama bin Laden picture. And so Osama bin Laden was in the crowd.
Oh, geez.
Well, I mean, you know who handles this stuff. You've just let half your staff go.
Well,
interns are going to be not paying attention and not know who's who. What's going to happen in San Francisco when the Giants have and nobody's paying attention? You'll probably have a Donald Trump and a Joe Biden cut out, but you could have some other nefarious things too.
Or some wanted terrorists that you see in the post office, but maybe nobody knows, I could see like Hannibal Lecter being up. People will get creative.
Do some Star Wars characters. Now that would be cool.
That'd be fun. That's fine. Anything fun like that, I have no problem with that. But,
All right, let's go to the phones. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Brent is in Fort Myers, wants to talk some Gator football. What's up, Brent?
What's up, Brent?
How are you guys doing? Thank you for having me. First off, I'd like to give a shout-out to Matthew Beasley, the best center who ever played for Cypress Lake Hornets.
Okay.
All right. Very good. Mission accomplished.
Said, and my old coach, DJ One Wigs, he's a frequent caller of your show.
Okay.
But I got to ask you guys, what do you think about Kyle Trask? I think he's a lock to be the Heisman winner. What do you guys think?
I think it's a lock. I think he's going to be in discussion. And as you know, the day after LSU won the national championship that I predicted, I also have Florida in my college football playoff. So I think he, barring any injury, obviously, I think he's going to have a hell of a year. I think he will be in the discussion. No question.
I concur.
I don't want to say absolutes.
My other question besides Florida football was going to be, I was going to spin it to why can't the Red Sox go 50-10 this year?
Why can't the Red Sox what?
50-10?
Why can't they? Because they're going to have all the eyes off them. Like, Alex Cora's gone.
50-10? Have you seen?
Mookie Betts is gone. They're a quality program. Like, why can't they?
Is it the same roster that...
the number one ace and one of the best pitchers in baseball isn't playing in Chris Sale.
He's
you
now
lost
a Dodger.
Mookie Betts, the MVP of the league. The starting pitcher is going to be their number one guy, Eduardo Rodriguez, who was the number five guy a couple years ago.
Yeah, he's like a 5 ERA guy.
Well, they got a bunch of fours and fives that are going to make up their pitching staff this year. I think they'll be about 500.
Okay, well, let me go back. I know I'm all over the board here, but okay, Kyle Trask, Heisman. How about just Florida football, Pete? Can you give me like a wins and loss totals?
I just said I have them in the college football playoff.
Comes down to the Georgia game, right?
I said I have them in the college football playoff. I think
it
is.
Come to the Georgia game with me.
Come to the Georgia game. I've never been. You know what? I'd love to. I've never been to Gainesville before. It's not in Gainesville. It's in Jacksonville. But I would love to go to that. I've been to that stadium. I would love to go to that game. Well, we'll talk about it. We'll see. I'd love to go to that game as long as the Hurricanes are playing that day.
You know what, guys? I used to think like, you know what? These guys. But you guys are professionals and you're great at what you do. And thank you for having me.
Thank you, Brent.
I don't know about that, but thank you very much.
Thank you
very
much.
You're a professional caller.
Professional caller, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Kyle Trask, good. Gator season, good.
Yeah.
Red Sox, mediocre this year.
I think so.
That's pretty much the synopsis there.
Well, I think that's fair, don't you?
I think that's spot
on. I'm just surprised at some of the polls the Gators are. I see some polls the Gators are outside the top 10, which is ridiculous. A lot of them have them at like 8, 9. I think there should be a preseason. You look at their schedule too. It's a favorable schedule, assuming they play everything. They're gonna be really good unless they shoot themselves in the foot. And you know, they could be undefeated. Hey, look, there's no. They could be undefeated going into Georgia. Georgia might be undefeated. Who knows? Georgia's up there, too. Georgia's in everybody's top eight.
The only thing that could stop them is coronavirus. I don't know what the season's going to look like.
Your worst nightmare is Florida and Georgia making it in the college football playoff.
Both of them making it
Both of them, yeah.
I'd be very pleased to see Florida in the college football playoff. I think that'd be cool as hell.
Yeah. Georgia will be tough. They're going to be good.
Yeah. Heard that before.
See, my Hurricanes get going, you know, with Manny Diaz and Brett Lashley, the new OC.
Yeah.
And just, you know, with Derek King at quarterback. We'll see. Florida State's going to be, I think, a much improved team, a more exciting team to watch, no doubt.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Hopefully we have college football.
Hopefully we will. You know, I was thinking about, you know, the differences between college football and the NFL and how they're both handling coronavirus. And, you know, the NFL looks like they're going to get rid of two preseason games and just play two instead of the four and or five if you were Dallas and Pittsburgh this year with the Hall of Fame game. But, you know, we play college football every year with no preseason games. We just do camp and we go.
Mm-hmm.
And you get what you get on week one. And I just wonder how much we're going to keep kicking the can down the road for football. Are we going to cancel or the NFL?
I mean, we're really.
Do we need the preseason?
When
not?
You're talking about preseason, maybe for starters, which there aren't many that play, unless somebody's coming off an injury. That's the only time. What are you talking about in preseason for the NFL? We all know this. You're talking about guys who are on the bubble of making the team.
Yeah.
You know, somebody on special teams.
Pete, you got to see this.
I'm watching.
DeChambeau's ball is in the drainage grate.
Well, he should have a two-club relief. So he's got his driver. What he's doing right now. Longest club is his driver. Yeah, so yeah. You get two club lengths away
Look at this ball. It's right in the corner square of the drainage deal on the cart path. That's hilarious.
It did not go down the drain, though.
No, it did not. It's kind of stuck in there. So, yeah, he's getting his relief right now. All right, back to what you were saying about football.
So you're talking about, you know, really what's preseason coming down to? About three or four or five guys fighting it out to make the team.
Yeah.
Because most of the roster is set, right? I mean, on the whole.
Yeah.
Largely. I mean, sometimes, yeah, guys do come out of camp, and then sometimes a rookie will beat out a veteran. It does happen occasionally. That can happen. But usually you kind of know the roster, 90% of it anyway. And you're talking about four or five guys competing for a couple of slots.
Yeah. The rest are all camp bodies.
And it's really bad. I mean, it's so bad. It's I mean, I would watch it this year, but it is unwatchable. There's another ball that's lying across the street in this tournament. It's still moving.
I thought this was a replay of DeChambeau's rolling down to the
grid. Oh, is it really?
But I might be wrong. This might be a whole other one. Of course, they're playing out at Connecticut, TPC River Highlands. This is the second round today. And there's a very slow slope on the cart path.
It's gaining
along the
speed.
Curb, and this ball is rolling down. And again, I don't know if this is a replay of DeChambeau's ball or if this is somebody else's ball.
What's a replay of DeChambeau's ball? I wish they'd speed it up.
Yeah.
But this thing keeps gaining speed. Now, here comes somebody's coming down the cart path. You can't touch it.
No.
You got to wait till it stops.
It's like the longest shot ever. It's taking forever.
It keeps gaining speed. Now it's now it's really picking up speed.
Oh, here we go.
Now it's. It's at the 15. The 10. Now it's.
Now we've got a curve and a bounce. Yeah,
that was DeChambeau's ball.
That was a replay of his ball.
Holy cow.
That spent forever just rolling down a very slight curve on the cart path. And now DeChambeau has dropped two club lengths and just a little too long off the back side of the green.
Yeah, he'll be putting on the fringe.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, yeah, that's definitely puttable right there.
This for me.
It's a Pete Shepherd special. I've seen you putt from 90 yards out.
Yep.
Away from the green. Classic. And almost make it, by the way.
Yes.
239. Pete is exactly right. The preseason has become almost meaningless anymore. You're just looking to fill roster spots. Yeah.
They don't play. It's a ripoff for the fans. It's the only people that benefit are the owners, charging full price tickets.
That's a big. I've complained about that for years. That they get away with charging full price for preseason games.
Boise State's campus closure has been extended. 20 additional positive test results, with dozens more still pending. And according to, given this increase in infections, the university is extending its facility closure through July 5th. See, this is what worries me about college football. If this continued, Craig, through the end of August and early September, and it's not because it's going to be them. Then what do you do? I'm going to predict that some president, chancellor or eight, whatever, that some Division I school is going to recommend, somebody's going to recommend that they cancel the season.
Yeah.
For their particular program.
Well, it depends what your definition of is if this continues. If this continues for another month where we have 10,000 positive tests in the state of Florida, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
And as you said, Boise shut down their whole thing for a couple of weeks.
We're talking Idaho.
I know. But if they keep extending this shutdown into August, then yeah, now you're putting your football season in jeopardy because you don't think it's safe.
You got 20 additional positive tests for Boise State. So when do they start? When do they really, really get things going? I mean, when do they get to start? It's
about July 31st, August 1st,
And hopefully, again, within 3 or 4 weeks, everything calms down a little bit here.
But 20—that's 1/4 of your football team.
Yeah,
that's not a small number. And again, these are young kids. So, look, it's one thing to say 16 NBA players out of 302 got it. Look, they're professionals, they're grown men, and they're in quarantine, and the whole league is taken care of. You got to even. This sounds weird to say, but you even got to go go the extra mile when you're dealing with the kids.
Well, absolutely. And again, Boise State still intends to require residential students to test negative before checking into housing. Now, I would say that's going to be true for every single college in the country.
Yeah.
It's unclear whether employee testing will expand beyond those at high risk. Boise State investigating alternative testing options and will have information that becomes available.
And here's another thing to follow, Pete. What the rest of the campuses do. Forget about football for a moment. Let's go back to the student body. Most kids start reporting back mid-August. That's like what is that, six weeks mm-hmm. from now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think a lot of schools have given any definite decisions one way or the other as to whether they're going to allow students to move into dorms throughout campus or not. I think they've all planning on doing so. And I read a lot about 50-50 where classes you could be in person, you know, one day and online the next, and then kind of split it all up a little bit. But, that's all I've heard.
Well, let me ask you this, if you don't mind answering. No, how do you feel about it with your daughter at FGCU, and how does she feel about it?
She wants to go back, like, tomorrow.
Of course. But,
that's what I'm thinking of as I'm sitting here saying this. I mean, you can put all these aren't just football players. We get the first crack at looking at how they're doing because they're going back now, and they're doing these voluntary workouts. What about the rest of the student body population going in at close quarters at the dorms? We've always kind of, it's always been in the background, but the background's coming fast. It's here in just a few weeks. And I, as a parent, yes, I'm a little concerned. So, I don't know.
Well, I think every parent who has a child in college or university is why, of course, should be concerned.
You just want to wrap them up, put them in bubble wrap, and keep them in the house forever.
What if parents say, I'm sure there's some parents out there that aren't allowing their kids to go back regardless, right? I'm sure there are those.
Well,
and I understand that too.
I have a child in high school. I was kind of wondering more about what they're going to do
then.
That's
right, yeah. What is the plan with that?
There is no plan yet. There is no plan. That's another case where I think local schools, the plan right now is to do some half and half, stay at home half the time, go to class half the time. They'll do hallways one direction like this. They'll stagger passing periods and all that. I think these things are being put in place, but nothing definite. I mean, again, if the state of Florida continues to have 10,000 positive tests a day, I mean, it's okay, it's 9,000, 8,900 today. Then, you can't jam all these kids back into a school. Mm-hmm. I don't think. That's what my brain tells me.
I don't think you can. It has to be. I heard they might split up the classes Monday through Wednesday or Tuesday through Friday, whatever it is, 1 week. And then you go 2 days 1 week, 3 days the next week, that kind of thing.
Yeah. But is that even going to be enough?
I don't know.
To protect kids?
Or some day, 1 week online, one week homeschooling, 1 week not.
I think it's all up in the air. Just an absolute crazy time.
And you're talking about, high school football getting ready to go at it, and I think that's in jeopardy. I mean, I think it's not as only. I think football might be in jeopardy for high school kids, but also we've talked about the referees, at least in Southwest Florida before. Is it worth the risk with the way they lack of pay? I think that's going to be an issue again.
Look, this all hit us coming off of like spring break. Kids just never came back from spring break. They were told to stay at mm-hmm. home. We kind of held our breath and made it to the finish line, to the end of the school year. Seniors got robbed of their graduation and their proms. Everybody else just absolute shut down. Well, I think we all kind of figured, man, let's just, we were social distancing in April and May. Let's just get to the summer, take a breather. And we were hopeful that things would be back to normal in the fall. But as I'm sitting here today, they're not going to be back to normal in the fall. And again, this also dovetails into the NFL. They are the only sport that didn't have to do well. College football too didn't have to deal with this head on like all the other sports did. This started perfectly for the football season because the Super Bowl was over, and then we all became aware of this. And this whole off season's been going on. And again, I think the whole thinking was, if we could just get to the fall, things would be better, and we can start putting life back together. And today on June 26th, it doesn't look like we're there yet. And
no, it doesn't.
It looks very shaky.
Nope. Again, in the state of Georgia, Morehouse College has announced that all fall sports have been canceled this season.
Really?
So that means the upcoming football season has been canceled for Morehouse. They compete at Division II. Now, here's what their president said, David A. Thomas, said, "I write to inform you that due to the COVID, Morehouse College will not participate in intercollegiate athletic competition sponsored by the NCAA. And the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. This will affect our cross-country and football-sponsored athletic teams. I want all our scholar athletes, parents, and alumni to know that the college will honor all athletic scholarship awards." And again, that's just it's got to suck, especially if you're a senior. That's got to be heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about the football players, but all of the fall sports. Heartbreaking.
See, that's the path we're at. And these are decisions being made on June 26th. We're not even there yet.
And earlier today, too, which I didn't bring up, there is at least one player that tested positive today at the Travelers.
Yeah. Right, that's right. Another one headed back.
Now Division II, Morehouse College in Atlanta joins Bowdoin in Maine, Division III school in Brunswick, Maine, by canceling football this year and all fall semester sports. And I got to believe, Craig, that there's going to be a Division I institution that does it. I can't believe there won't be one in the entire country. Do you? I mean, you think that am I being crazy when I say that?
I think everything is possible right now. 239 says, what about the high school marching bands? They got over 200 kids. It's more than the football teams. Again, same thing.
I agree. And band member, obviously, yes. Any activity in high school that acquires an assembly of some sort or, you know, a lot of kids together. Yes.
The bus.
Why? I don't care if it's choirs, anything.
It's at the college level, too. Ohio State's got the biggest marching band in the country. The bus texting in, he says, the second wave is going to be worse than the first, and unfortunately, it's really going to affect sports in our daily lives. I have a question. Everybody keeps talking about the second wave that's coming in the fall. What the hell is this today?
Know.
Isn't this it?
Well, some people will tell you yes. Some people will say no. It's still the first wave.
Jeez. Let's squeeze in a phone call. Then I want to break early because we got Jenna Lane going to talk Buccaneers football for us. And, of course, Craig's Friday Sports Test brought to you by the Boathouse on Naples Bay is right around the corner, too. But first, Peter in Lehigh. You're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Go ahead, Peter.
Hi, Peter.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great.
Long time no here. I'm also part-time. I'm a high school certified soccer official here in Lee County and also sometimes in the Naples area, the GNOA.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to just touch base on what you guys said about the referees and what you guys think might happen down here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually, the referees are the lowest level to be thought about in most cases, but I believe with the outdoor sports, with regards to football and soccer, I think it can be done. I think the games can go forward if the school board allows it.
Mm-hmm.
One, with high school football and soccer, the referees and the players don't have to be face-to-face in many cases. We don't have to shake hands.
Yeah.
You know, we don't even have to fist bump. We can acknowledge through our eyes. But I think the indoor sports, you know, like basketball, volleyball, may have a bigger impact with the COVID. It's just my feeling. I think that if the school board thinks it through, I think they can allow high school soccer and high school football to take place because, first of all, the players, let's be honest, in football, they're protected with their gear in most cases. They wear helmets, and even though you think they go in a scrum or in a huddle, they're not really within spitting distance of each other until they get tackled. Would you not agree?
Yeah, but that happens every play.
What about the offensive defensive linemen? Every, you know, the front five, I mean, just going at it, you know, they're hitting every single play, though. But yeah,
well, you ever watch that Seinfeld episode where what's his name? The chubby guy, Kramer's buddy. What was his name?
George.
Newman.
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 That special noogie took a left and jumped over. And
The
second spinner.
Keith Hernandez. Yeah.
Yeah, Keith Hernandez. Yeah. Really, you know, the players' heads are down, and if they can wear medical masks, I don't. I think football and outdoor soccer can be done if the school board allows.
All right. Well, I hope so.
You're right.
And I hope you call again,
right,
Peter.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling.
Good job.
I appreciate
Great call.
It.
Love to hear from all the local, especially local officials.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I want to take a break now. Yeah. We got Jenna Lane coming up next. She covers the Buccaneers for ESPN and Craig's Friday Sports Test. A big closeout to the 3 o'clock hour here on a Friday. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Facebook has turned into a platform where anyone can spew nonsense. Sounds like these guys. Like our Facebook page, 99.3 ESPN Radio. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Time to talk Buccaneers football. Of course, we do that a lot anyway. But right now, friend of the program, Jenna Lane, who covers the Buccaneers for ESPN, is back with us. Jenna, how are you? How you been?
Doing well, considering all that's going on in the world, I guess as best as can be expected. How about you guys?
We're hanging in there. Let me start you off with this. What's it been like with you? Because the last time we spoke with you, you know, you're doing your reports outside the facility. You weren't allowed
every,
in the facility.
Every 3 minutes.
How has that changed for you? What are you allowed to do? What can you still not do as far as the facility goes right now?
Well, even though, as you guys know, since you guys are in Florida, even though our state has been very aggressive in opening things back up, ESPN, for the most part, doesn't want us going out unless it's absolutely necessary. So I've done all of my reporting from inside my apartment. I know that Tom Brady is putting on these workouts, which have been highly publicized, and local news stations are now sending a chopper up into the sky to take photos and video of these practices. And the Tampa Bay Times is also, they sent out a photographer to take photos of these practices. But, you know, I think every company has to make a decision on what they think is best and safest for their employees. And obviously with 9,000 new cases in our state, I'm comfortable being inside right where I'm at and only leaving if it is absolutely necessary, to be perfectly honest. So, but it hasn't stopped as far as the demand on me for sure. I've had a hard time getting back to some people sometimes that reach out to me just because, you know, the excitement surrounding Tom Brady, not just locally, but nationally, the fact that he's here and so is Rob Gronkowski, it has created a lot of interest, for sure.
Well, absolutely. And I'm sure that I can't even imagine how many texts you must get a day. And are you enjoying the added extra attention? Because this is, and I was saying this, you know, since Tom got here and Gronk, that, you know, this is now going to be one of the premier franchises, at least for the next 2 years anyway, in the NFL. But, it can be overwhelming, Jenna. I know. I've been doing this 35 years. I know what it's like.
You know, I think from a personal standpoint, it's great for my career in the sense that more people are seeing what I'm doing. But, you know, I don't really look at it from a me standpoint. I'm happy for the guys that are on the team that get more attention out of it, because there are some really good players on the team. Guys like Levante David that I swear I've been screaming to the high heavens, like, why won't anybody give this guy respect? I'm happy that more people are going to know who he is and the kind of person and player he is, because he's so quiet, and it's just like people just don't realize what a special talent he is, that there are certain plays he makes that just, you know, they're reminiscent of Derek Brooks even. And I know that that's a lot to ask out of somebody, but he's really just a special player. I'm excited people are going to know who he is. I'm excited people are going to learn even more about Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. There's a lot of good guys on the team that I think are very deserving and worthy of the spotlight. And, you know, they've certainly had talent over the years. They just haven't been able to put it together. So, you know, for them, I'm excited. And honestly, I think it's really just about, as far as me and how things are for me personally, you know, you just understand that there's more eyeballs on you, and you just want to make sure that, you know, I mean, my expectations of myself and my commitment to doing, you know, quality work, it's always going to be the same, whether 50 people read a story or you know, 50,000, I mean, or 500,000, I mean, depending on what it is. You know, you just want to make sure that you're doing all the people that you cover who take the time to talk to you and help you out. You just want to make sure you're doing them justice and covering them as truthfully and authentically as you can.
Jenna Lane is with us from ESPN covering the Buccaneers. Let me ask you a question that touches on some things you've touched on here already. So Tom Brady and the guys, a handful of guys, are working out. He's been criticized for it, although he's not the only one or only quarterback doing it throughout the league, against the NFL recommendations that players not get together and work out. You referenced the stats, almost 9,000 positive tests today, 20,000 in the last 3 days here in the state of Florida. Tom tweeted or put out on Instagram, hey, you have nothing to fear but fear itself. Maybe that wasn't the best look for that particular day. But what's your opinion as you view all this going on as they are trying to get themselves ready for the eventual training camp?
Well, I mean, I reached out to some healthcare workers, including one in my own family. My sister's an intensive care unit nurse caring for COVID-19 patients right here in the Tampa Bay area. And I can tell you that, you know, it's very, very frustrating for them when they feel like people aren't taking this seriously, because they see young, healthy people even that are struggling with this. I have friends that were diagnosed recently. One said he's the sickest he's ever been. And it wasn't like they were going out and being careless. It wasn't like they weren't quarantining. They were. They were following orders and did quarantining for March, April, you know, May. When things started to open up in June, they got excited. One friend told me, he went out with some friends, nine friends. They went out downtown St. Pete, and seven out of the nine that all went out became sick within 2 to 4 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they're all young people, you know, like late 30s or mid 30s, I would say. you know, it's not like they're, you know, no pre-existing conditions or anything like that. So it can happen to anybody. And I think it's really just, is it within the laws? I mean, they're not breaking any laws, and that's what the organization stance really is. You know, they're not breaking any laws. They're following guidelines, with the exception of how many people that are congregating in these groups for these practices. You know, you could also point to the fact that, you know, these youth football leagues are starting back up practicing. Even the high schools are starting up practicing. So some of these players, their kids are already practicing. But at the same time, we all know it just takes a few cases for this thing to go awry. And then you look at, like, the Colorado Rockies, for instance. You know, they haven't even reported to spring training yet, and already they have three players that tested positive because they've been working out together.
No question about it.
Players are working outdoors and things like that. You know, maybe that makes it safer, but there's just so much we don't know that it's like, even if something was in the rules, or does it mean that you absolutely have to do it? I look at the face mask ordinances. You know, we have since had to make face masks mandatory for indoor public places because it was a guideline before. And because the governor kept saying, you know, you trust that people are going to do the right thing. Well, too many people weren't doing the right thing. You go into a Publix on a Monday morning and nobody's wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. That's why they had to make these guidelines into rules and mandates. You know, they had to take things a step further because nobody was following them. We've had such a hard time having compliance in this area. So I don't think it's setting a very good example. And you would expect someone like Tom Brady, who, by all accounts, from everybody I've talked to, is a wonderful person. He's a thoughtful person. You know, he's a role model to kids and everything. You know, you trust people like that to be good role models and to be good leaders, and people will follow their lead. The same thing with Bruce Arians. That's why the Pinellas County government, or I'm sorry, the Hillsborough County government, wrong county, Hillsborough County government enlisted Bruce Arians to help them with a COVID safety campaign where he's encouraging people to wear masks and to socially distance and to wash their hands and all those things necessary to stop the spread.
Yeah, it's just, but, and I agree with everything you said, without a doubt. But they're football players, especially, you know, been around Tom a while in my career and knowing what he's like and seeing what I have seen from these drones, helicopter, whatever it is, they look pretty good. I mean, the more footage, the better. I like what I've seen. I just think it's going to happen around the entire league, Jen. It's not just going to be Tom or Russell Wilson, Stafford. They're all going to start doing it, Rod. They're all going to do it because they're football players, they're competitors. It's just a different mentality. I don't know, unless the league mandates that you cannot do this anymore, I only see more players going the same route as the Buccaneers.
Yeah, and I talked to the NFL, I talked to the NFLPA. When I talked to the NFL, it doesn't sound like they're going to be doing any sort of fines or anything. They said, you know, we encourage players to follow, you know, their state and local guidelines and, you know, the guidelines of the CDC, the guidelines of the NFLPA, medical experts at the NFLPA, you know, and the NFLPA said, look, we stand by our statement that we put out there, but they wouldn't say anything specifically about Brady. You know, I don't expect any sort of penalties to come from this or any sort of rules. You know, I don't expect them to have to, you know, really lay down the law on this. You know, I think they're saying it's the player's choice. My thing is just that you don't want to do anything that's going to, you know, prevent this all from happening. You know, and I have a lot of concerns. I mean, granted, when I talk to the NFL, they're proceeding forward. They fully expect to be in training camp, but does it mean we're going to have fans? Does it mean we're going to have media? Mm-hmm. I certainly think MLB is taking a risk by the fact that media is going to be allowed to have access to players. I think there's some concern there. And I also think there's concern as far as, okay, we see some infections here now. I don't think we can expect players and their families to live in bubbles. And again, it's not just players, it's their families too. Are you going to have to start monitoring, you know, okay, your kid can't play with this person because this person's child? Like, I mean, that's the thing. You kind of have to go through your own manual contact tracing. Well, who has my child's friend, you know, been around? I mean, it only takes one person, one infection. And as many times as we've seen these asymptomatic carriers, that's the thing too. I mentioned I had some friends that are sick as they've ever been. I've also had a few friends that have tested positive with virtually no symptoms.
Yeah.
And it's so hit or miss, and so you just don't know. Obviously, we saw a number of NBA players. I want to say it was 18 today tested positive.
Yeah, 5.3%.
We're finding out those numbers.
Yeah.
Or at least we're finding out those numbers now versus having them potentially infect new people. So at least, you know, I guess that's one thing that's a positive is the fact that testing is available and we're doing it so that hopefully we can prevent the spread. But like a lot of people, I have concerns about whether or not this is going to happen. And some people have said, well, oh, it makes the NFL is too much of a moneymaker for this thing not to happen. Look, people were saying the exact same thing about March Madness, and look what happened.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Jenna Lane is with us. On a lighter note, since we haven't talked to you in a while, what did you think of Tom Brady's golf skills when he was hanging out with Tiger, Phil, and Peyton a few weeks back?
You know, I am by far the worst golfer probably in the history of the planet. So, I mean, with that being said, I thought he showed a lot of resilience because he started out really, 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 really rough. And obviously, those were some bad conditions. I couldn't imagine. I mean, when Charles Barkley's talking about, you know, he's just waiting for a wild animal to come out and bite someone, like, you know, it's probably not a good time to be playing some golf. But they were really good sports about it. And I thought he really came through in the clutch in the end there. It was unfortunate that he had a wardrobe malfunction. But even so, we kind of brushed it off and was able to get a new pair of pants, that little bit of a looser fit. And I thought it was great. You know, you really got to see some true competitors there. I think Peyton's probably had more opportunities to play golf now that he's in retirement. So maybe it'll be more of a level playing field in a few years when Brady finally hangs it up, you know. But that was great entertainment at a time when I think people all around the country were just searching for something, anything.
Yeah. Well, despite everything we just talked about, all the serious stuff, but just from a football perspective, do you think because the way they've been working out and everything that I've seen, and I know it's not, you know, tight 7-on-7 drills, but when I see guys like Ronald Jones, who looks like he has no body fat on him at all and just looks awesome, I mean, I know it's a whole different setting, and the way these guys are working out and what I have seen in the video, do you think the Buccaneers, assuming nobody gets the virus or it doesn't get crazy again, will this potentially put them ahead of the curve here heading into training camp?
It's going to be interesting, I think. You know, I know Brady's going to prepare as best as he can, and he's going to be over-prepared. But there's still going to be some growing pains, I think, in learning Bruce Arians' offense. It's the first time he's played in a new offense in 20 years. So there's going to be a little bit of an adjustment period. He's trying to get that adjustment phase, though, get through that now so that he is more just, you know, closer to being, you know, to where it's more natural in training camp. And you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens this year. I think there's so many unknowns, so I don't want to go out on a limb here. Like, I'm not comfortable, like, saying it's Super Bowl or bust because this is a team that doesn't have any playoff experience. But I think it'd be a disappointment this year if they didn't reach the playoffs. But again, there's just so many unknowns.
Sure.
Really, there are so many unknowns. And a lot of the footage that we've seen from these guys, they're not, I mean, they just started bringing some defensive backs into practices. So it's really hard to gauge where a guy's at when, for the most part, he's catching passes against air. But you're right. You know, talking about Ronald Jones, he's worked hard. Their running game wasn't great, though. I mean, when you can't even average 4 yards a carry, it's really tough to maintain balance. And I think that balance is something that Tom needs. Mm-hmm. I think he really does need that balance.
Yeah. Jenna, it is always a pleasure to have you on. And thank you so much. We will be in touch. We love having you on. Thank you.
We'll talk soon, hopefully.
Thank you so much for catching up. Stay safe.
You too. That is Jenna Lane for ESPN. She covers the Buccaneers. And we always like to get her on whenever we can. All right, time to switch gears a little bit here and have some fun with Craig's Friday Sports Test, brought to you by the Boathouse at Naples Bay. We do it every Friday at 3:45. And first of all, a word about the Boathouse on Naples Bay. You can pull your boat up, you can drive up, sit down, whatever the case may be. But I've told you about these deals. They got their 2-for-20 lunch menu out there, including the filet mignon sliders and the mini lobster rolls.
Yum!
Absolutely. Check that out. Plus, you got your complimentary hot sourdough rolls there. The Boathouse on NaplesBay.com is their website. You can look at their menu, make your reservations, whatever you need to do. So, we will give away an additional $25 for each correct answer, up to 3 questions on the Craig Friday Sports Test, all sports questions from sporting events this week. What we need now is you. Caller number 9, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Craig's Friday Sports Test brought to you by the Boathouse on Naples Bay is next. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
This is the Friday Sports Test with Sheeman and Shepard, brought to you by the Boathouse on Naples Bay on 99.3 ESPN.
All right, let's have some fun here. Looks like caller number 9 is Todd in Fort Myers. Todd, how are you, sir?
Todd.
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
You betcha. Todd, how old are you?
59.
59. All right. You working? What do you do for a living?
I teach tennis for a living.
Nice gig.
Wow.
Although a little hot. You got to get those lessons over by like 8 a.m., right?
Yeah, no.
All right. Well, this is how it works. We got three questions for Craig's Friday Sports Test. For each one you get right, it's an additional $25 to the Boathouse at Naples Bay. So you could win up to $75 here. And for one of the three questions, you can use Pete Shepard as a lifeline. These are all sports questions from this week. Okay, you ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right, here is question number one. What NFL game was canceled this week?
I'm going to have to use my lifeline.
All right. Okay. It's always the first preseason game of the year.
So it's the Hall of Fame game.
That is correct.
That's correct.
$25 to the Boathouse in Naples Bay is yours no matter what happens. All right. Let's go for more here. Question number two. What Los Angeles Lakers player has already announced he will not go to Orlando when play resumes?
Yeah, I heard that. I can't remember. It's a guard. Is it something Avery?
Well, you got.
Let me use a lifeline.
Well, you already used it on the last question.
Wait a minute. I didn't use my lifeline. He said first game of the year.
Yeah, that was your lifeline.
That's the hint you get. It's always the first preseason game of the year. Well, keep going with Avery. You're right on the first name, Avery.
I'll tell you, you got the first name right. If you got the last name, I'll give it to you.
You're right with Avery. We need the last name.
Oh, God. Avery Johnson?
Oh. No.
Avery Bradley.
Avery Bradley. All right.
Okay.
Okay. You still got your $25. We got one more question. Let's see if we can make it 50. Again, you're all out of lifeline, so this is all on you. Here is question number three. What English Premier League team won their first ever Barclays Premier League title?
Happened yesterday.
Yeah, I have no idea.
So it's soccer.
Yeah, soccer. I have no idea.
Name a city that's not London in England.
Winchester, I have no idea.
Well, that's a good guess.
That was a good guess, but unfortunately, it's incorrect. Liverpool was the correct answer we were looking for. But, Todd, congratulations. You got $25 to the Boathouse at Naples Bay, so you got that. Thanks. It was not bad. Those were hard questions, I thought, today.
Thank you very much.
All right, Todd, take care, man. Thank you for calling.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
Appreciate it. Stay cool out there. Man, tennis lessons all day in the heat. That's a grinder, right?
That's tough.
So he gets $25 to the Boathouse at Naples Bay. The rest of you could get their $2 for $20 lunch menu Monday through Friday, 11 to 3. Don't forget, great value, fabulous selection. Everybody always loves it when I talk about the Boathouse at Naples Bay with their filet mignon sliders, mini lobster rolls, overstuffed crab melts, whole bunch of stuff. Don't forget the complimentary hot sourdough rolls right when you sit down. So check it out. Go to the Boathouse on NaplesBay.com. Look at their menu. Make reservations. You can drive your boat. If you're lucky enough to have a boat, you can ride right up and get served. It's fantastic. The Boathouse on Naples Bay. All right.
NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, an ongoing conference call. No options are risk-free right now. We can't sit on the sidelines indefinitely, and we must adapt. This is far from ideal, the ideal way to finish out the season. Also, had some other interesting things to say. It says the broadcast will include never-before-seen camera angles and enhanced audio of players and coaches. And he also said, after careful consideration, we believe we have developed a safe and responsible way to restart the season.
Okay. Well, look, basically what he's saying here is we're going to give it our best shot.
Yeah.
Right?
That's all you can do.
It is all you can do. And I'm glad it's all All steam ahead moving forward on this.
Yeah, but he did say, Adam Silver did say he concedes the NBA might ultimately stop the season again. He said, quote, if we have significant spread of coronavirus throughout the community, express concern with the rising cases in Florida and elsewhere.
That is...
Now, that would be disastrous, obviously.
It would, but you know what? That's the thing we've got to hold our breath on all the leagues to start. I mean, baseball could shut it down, NBA, NHL, Rick's board. It all could go to hell at any
Sorry.
Second.
Turn stuff off.
Adam Silver says that one positive test, no matter the player, won't stop things from continuing. He says the league is discussing with health officials and the players what would happen in an instance of significant spread, but that line has not been set yet.
Yeah, we need to know what is significant. Yeah. One or two players a team, or five players or 200 players. I mean, what's the cutoff?
Now, what I hope doesn't happen, say LeBron gets it.
Right. And we shut down the whole league?
Well, that's what I mean.
Is LeBron equal to 200 other players? If LeBron gets it, we're shutting it down. Or if he's healthy, but 200 other players.
Antetokounmpo or somebody, James Harden, somebody. Are they going to give, like, because it's going to be 2 weeks. At least 2 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Maybe they don't shut it down, but they just delay for 2 weeks and then resume so that LeBron can get his championship.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right, it is almost 4 o'clock, which means it's almost 5 o'clock on a Friday. But we've got Rick Church in for Chris on the other side of the glass. I don't think there'll be Miley Cyrus at 5, but he's usually very generous with it at 5:30.
That's called compromise, Craig.
Yes.
All right, let's do it. 2 hours down, 2 to go here in the books on a Friday. Don't forget the 4 o'clock hour. We've got Wikipedia. More chances
music
to win prizes, and we do the Name That Tune version on Friday. So we'll have all that coming up. That will be fun. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.